Hello, it's Wednesday, October 19th, and you're listening to Wing TV and MP3. I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing TV. Before we start today, if you notice on the homepage, once you click on the link for today's show, we set things up a little bit differently. The top link now goes for the Monday and Friday television show, while the link directly below it, it says Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, that's for the audio version, the radio version of our show. So take a look at those. The Monday show's on till Friday, and then the Friday show stays on all weekend. So it's pretty self-explanatory. Just click on the link that you want to see.
Yep, we want to remind you that Morgan Reynolds will be on our show on Friday. We're going to talk about the controlled demolition and what's going on with him. And next week we're going to have, the 26th, Colonel Joe Hart. We're going to get into some New World Order health issues.
Right.
Should be pretty interesting.
And I think next Friday, if we can get it to work out right, we're going to have a video televised speech given by Webster Tarkley in August. We just have to figure out the last few technical things, how to bring it on to Wing TV, but we're looking forward to that also.
Very much so.
Yeah. Well, let's start off today. It seems like Dick Cheney's name keeps popping up now in this Valerie Plame CIA leak case. And there's so much talk about him that they're even now saying that he may resign. Now, when this comes from mainstream sources, you never really know if it's legitimate or not. But if Dick Cheney does resign, guess who, Lisa, becomes vice president then?
Condoleezza.
That's right, Condoleezza Rice. And this has actually a lot of people in the Republican Party scurrying about and not too happy, because they say that the Condoleezza is pro-choice, and they're not sure that they want someone who's a heartbeat away from the presidency to be pro-choice. And what this reminds me of, really, is what happened during the Nixon administration. Mm-hmm. When he was in so much hot water, guess who the first person was to go? Was Spiro Agnew, the vice president. Then they put in Gerald Ford as the vice president. Shortly thereafter, Richard Nixon got the boot then. So I don't know if this is reminiscent of that or not, but things are happening.
There's some interesting issues being raised with this whole Valerie Plame case and with Fitzpatrick. Remember, Fitzpatrick works for the government. So I don't know how far we're going to see this case actually go, because is he going to go so far as to jeopardize his own job? And perhaps even his life?
Right. It's like, it reminds me of Ken Starr during the Clinton administration, because even though most people think that Ken Starr was against the Clintons and the Clintons were against him,
we all saw what happened there.
Well, when the Clintons heard that Starr was going to be the special prosecutor, they actually gave him a standing ovation. That's how happy they were that he was in there, because they know that he was already bought, sold, and controlled. And I'm not sure if that's what's happening here, but Lisa made the most salient point there is he works for the government.
Right. Also, other issues being raised are, Judith Miller's security clearance. Mm-hmm. Now, a person with security clearance is not supposed to reveal the information, yet her job as a reporter is precisely to reveal information. So doesn't that kind of express a conflict of interest there? And with a lot of people are starting to say that perhaps she was a DOD plant.
Well, you know, I was actually going to talk about that last Friday on Alex Merklinger's show, and that was one of the points I was going to bring up, was that we know how Bush was paying off certain journalists to plant stories in the press. Armstrong Williams was one, Maggie Gallagher was another, and they're saying that there was probably at least 50 different stories planted in the media by these various people that were paid off. We also know about how there's these embedded journalists. Well, what if the whole New York Times and this Judith Miller were all part of the in? That they're part of planting the stories to get the Iraq war going.
Right. It's kind of questionable whether she was just a dupe or if she was a knowing participant. We know that the CIA has also infiltrated the mainstream media. And it's not beyond the stretch of imagination to think that this might be the case
Oh, yeah.
In this particular instance as well.
Yeah, something doesn't smell right about that whole Judith Miller case.
No, especially with the line of communication she received from Libby.
Oh, yeah.
The tone of that communication is very questionable.
Yeah. Now, we all know that Saddam Hussein's trial either is going to start or will start later if he gets a delay.
Well, he did get a delay. He got a delay till November 28th.
Okay. Well, I don't even know if it much matters, because I heard a commentator yesterday say that it's already a foregone conclusion what the verdict is going to be: guilty. So when I heard this, it reminded me of the 9/11 Whitewash Committee, because when they went into those hearings, they went in under the premise that they already knew who did this, that it was the 19 Arab cave dwellers. So they went in there under this premise, and I'm not sticking up for Saddam Hussein, but if this trial is a foregone conclusion, why not just admit the tyrannical system that we have here and just be done with it now, just chop his head off? Because, you know, why even have a trial if it's a foregone conclusion?
Right, I guess his trial began today and was adjourned till November 28th, and Saddam and his 7 co-defendants all pleaded not guilty. So, which leads us to ask, when is Bush and his regime going to be charged with war crimes against humanity?
That's
right. I guess that remains to be seen. I guess the tropical storm that was named Wilma is now a Category 5 hurricane, and this apparently progressed in like a day's time.
Yeah.
It evolved into a Category 5 hurricane.
From a 1 to a 5 overnight.
Right. It's got sustained winds of 175 miles per hour at this time, and the pressure is said to be the most powerful storm of the year. And forecasters are warning it's going to be a significant threat to Florida, most likely by the weekend. Of course, this could change as our storms seem to do minuets and go wherever they will now.
Right. And I'm sure a lot of people have heard about a weather service called AccuWeather. It's one of the largest in the country, and they appear on Fox News and quite a few other television networks and radio all across the country. Well, they're based right here in State College, Pennsylvania. That's where their headquarters are. And these meteorologists here are scratching their heads, because basically, one out of every 4 meteorologists in the country graduate from Penn State University. So 25% of them come from here, and then a lot of them work right at AccuWeather. So this is like a hub for weather. And you'll hear them report the night before saying that it's just a level 1 hurricane. The next morning at 5 o'clock, it's now turned into a 5. And they don't know what to think of these things. It doesn't add up.
Wilma's already caused or been blamed for a death in Jamaica. It's caused mudslides. It's flooded several communities there, and approximately 250 people were forced to go into shelters in Jamaica. And this storm, it's very interesting, because this has been an extremely active hurricane season. This storm exhausts the list of names for this year.
That's right.
So the next storm that we get will be using the Greek alphabet and will be named Alpha if they get another one.
That's pretty incredible. And they're saying that when this hits over the weekend, it might come right into Tampa. Well, we know Patriot Jim Kushua lives down there, and also Visigoth lives in that area, so yeah, we'll have to keep an eye out on him.
Just now, so everybody knows, the hurricane season ends November 30th.
Now, Louis Farrakhan, last weekend he had this million-man march. Well, obviously a million men or women didn't show up for this. But interestingly, he gave a speech at the National Press Club before last weekend, and some of the things he spoke about didn't make it to the mainstream news. Now, why do you think that is? Well, let me give you a couple of these quotes. He says, when you have people who politically feel that they got their advantage by killing people and blaming it on somebody else, then it makes us wonder what really happened to the Twin Towers in New York City. He also said then, he continued on, he asked, was heat from the jet fuel sufficient to compromise the steel in the buildings? Sounds kind of like 9/11 on trial, doesn't it? He also said that people heard explosions like we see in old buildings in Vegas or Florida, like the implosions we see on TV.
Go Lewis!
Right. He also said now, or asked, to whose advantage was this really? And, as I said earlier, this wasn't in the New York Times or the Washington Post, or it wasn't reported on ABC or CNN. Very good work. And the last thing he mentioned was that he said that the levees in New Orleans were exploded. This is the kind of information that needs to be brought out. And, of course, the mainstream, they call him Calypso Louie or Louie the Lip. Sounds like he's pretty dead on, at least on this issue.
Oh, you mean the mainstream calls him names in response to the issues he raises?
Right.
What a shock. Just so, since we're getting into cover-ups, remember, under Bush, we've seen now the 9/11 cover-up, which is still ongoing. We've seen bogus wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. We've seen a vast expansion of education spending. In fact, Bush has failed to veto any spending bill. Very little reform for the buck. We have seen campaign finance reform, which has involved an abridgment of the First Amendment because it can be used to suppress freedom of speech, of critical viewpoints that run counter to the administration. We all know Bush's immigration policy just plain sucks. There are issues with national defense and homeland security. We have exploding government spending. Bush refuses to veto pork barrel spending at all. Expansion of entitlements. And he has no interest in shrinking the size of the government, which I think goes directly against what a conservative stands for.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because we want to clear up a misunderstanding that a few of our viewers had last week. We came out and we said that when it comes to politics or government, we're more conservative-based. Well, somebody emailed us and says, well, does that mean then that you're a conservative Republican? And this is a misunderstanding, because we have no affiliation, or do we have any affinity to the Republican Party.
Or the Democrats.
Or the Democratic Party.
In fact, we've been saying that for the whole time we've been on this show.
Right.
We are against the Democrats and the Republicans.
Yeah.
We want people to vote third party. We both voted third party. And we don't cast those labels on ourselves.
Right. And, you know, whenever I talk to people and they ask me where I stand politically, I say I'm conservative, but I hate this administration. And it always causes them some consternation, because they don't know how you can be conservative and hate this administration.
But being a conservative is not synonymous with being
right.
a Republican.
And what we stand for is small government. We
right.
want little or no taxation at the federal level. We support more local government. And we don't want us to be involved in foreign wars that are preemptive. So we just wanted to clear that up a little bit.
I also wanted to talk a little bit about activism. We got a great email from Rick Ryder, who made us one of our 9/11 banners, and he's been doing a movie night where he gets a large gathering of people to watch a movie that he, you know, wants to get a certain message out, especially about 9/11. And movie night is a great idea. It's a great way to get the word out about 9/11 and about the New World Order. You can do banners at protests like we do, or on a smaller scale, person to person. You can hand out flyers, you can hang up posters, bumper stickers, business cards, books and DVDs. Of course, we always want people to read 9/11 on trial to get the word out. And you can also include a 9/11 link in your email signature, which is a great idea. So
yeah.
Thanks a lot, Rick, for those suggestions.
Now, Newsmax, a very conservative-based website, is reporting that Bill O'Reilly said that he may retire within 2 years when his contract is up.
Don't let the door hit in the butt.
That's right. The reason why he is saying is that he's been receiving death threats, that he has to hire bodyguards, that when he's out in public, people are taking pictures of him and posting them on the Internet. He said that he needs a third party present whenever he gives an interview, because he doesn't want to be misquoted. And with this whole Andrea Macris thing, it's just created a bunch of havoc for him. And what I'm doing then is I'm going to post an article tomorrow that's going to give, at least from my perspective, the real reason why Bill O'Reilly is retiring. And it doesn't have anything to do with these reasons. And, you know, when you listen
to
O'Reilly...
He wants to open a loofah store.
Well, I just say it has a little bit to do with that, Lisa. But when you listen to O'Reilly, this guy is so self-absorbed,
yeah.
and he has such a persecution complex that he's bordering on just full-blown paranoia.
You know, when I look at that guy, he seems like he's about one blink away from having a total anger meltdown.
Yeah, yeah. So, and I'll explain the reasons why I think that is in tomorrow's call.
Well, we all thought that the anthrax scare was bad, right? Anthrax is bad, mm-hmm. correct? Well, then tell me why the U.S. Army plans to buy large quantities of anthrax, quantities like 1,500 liter batches, and 3,000 liter batches of some other unspecified biological agent. This is associated with contracts with the U.S. Army's Dugway Proving Ground in Utah. They're getting companies to produce these large batches. Now, let me ask you this. What do you think would happen if other countries decided to do the very same thing and build large biological production facilities at secretive military bases known for weapons testing?
Yeah. Think we'd object at all?
I just don't understand. Anthrax is supposed to be bad,
yeah,
right? Okay.
Yeah. Now, on our homepage today, we have an article. It's called, Will Bush and Blair Survive? Or Could It Get Worse? I can't remember the exact title.
It can always get worse.
Yeah, well, it doesn't seem like it can get much worse for these guys because it seems like the hot water just keeps boiling them more and more. And we have the indictments coming down against the Bush cabinet, the Downing Street memo. We have this opposition to the war in both countries. Even Zbigniew Brzezinski is coming out and calling Bush's administration one of suicidal statecraft. There's now reports that Tony Blair might be an MI5 spy. These British bombings in Iran that are linked to his administration. William Crystal, the editor of the Weekly Standard, says that the mood in the White House is bleak and that the environment is pretty grim. And of course, all the fingers are pointing at Karl Rove and Scooter Libby. And in the UK, they're even now talking about instituting a national ID card. Well, a guy named Jerry Fishenden, who's an officer for Microsoft, is saying that this is going to lead to massive identity fraud and something that no technologist would ever recommend. Well, I think that's the real reason they want it anyway, is that to put the national ID card out there so that it deliberately fails. Then that leads to the next thing, which is the implant. So, you know, look at what's happening to Bush and Blair, and is this being deliberately created or not? But they're in some hot water right
Frank
now.
Frank Whelan was talking on his show this morning about a website called Beast.com that was actually advertising the chip.
Uh-huh.
And he said that the last time he looked, that website was no longer there. I guess after all the talk about the mark of the beast, they decided maybe it wasn't a good idea to name their website beast.com.
Yeah. Well, what's that company down in Florida that manufactures the chip?
Oh, I can't even remember the name.
Verichip?
Yep, I think so.
Yeah. Well, I can't remember the name now, but one of the Bush top administrators that left the cabinet in the last year or two, guess what he went down and joined the board of? This plant or this company in Florida that's manufacturing the chip. So it's all tied in together. And one last thing I wanted to mention, I don't know how much more you have, but we rarely watch TV, but last night we heard an ad that Rush Limbaugh was going to be on Hannity and Combs, and he rarely gives interviews, so Lisa and I tuned in, and
things must be getting really, really squirmy with the Bush administration if they have to call Rush Limbaugh, who doesn't grant interviews normally.
Yeah, they have to bring out now the big kahuna to kind of bring everything back to center because there's so much division in the GOP and it's crumbling apart that they had to bring Rush out, the big hitter.
I guess Bill O'Reilly and Sean Hannity aren't doing a good enough job of reassuring the public that everything's A-OK within the Bush administration because they have to get Limbaugh out there to tell everybody the Republicans are all right. Everything's hunky-dory.
And first of all, when I saw him, I was like, this guy doesn't look good. I mean, he didn't appear very well. And then he started talking about the Bush administration, and he's saying that he recalls the Nixon presidency. And he said there was such a hatred towards the end when Nixon was president. And he says right now, the hatred in this country for Bush either equals that for Nixon or even surpasses it. And I don't understand it completely because I was talking to a friend over the weekend, and he's very conservative, and he said I don't know why he was saying this. He didn't know why all of the liberals hate George Bush because he said this is the most liberal Republican president we've ever had in this country.
Yeah. Not only is Bush not a genuine Christian, but he's also not a conservative.
Yeah, and if you don't believe me, just listen to this.
And he never has been.
Right, he never has been. He let Ted Kennedy write the education bill. He's never vetoed even one spending bill ever in 5 years now. He's done nothing about abortion. He's done nothing about illegal immigration. He's dragged this country into a war that we have no reason to be in. None of those are conservative qualities.
And he's an integral part of the 9/11 mass murder of Americans.
That's
and,
right.
And people from about 80 other countries.
Yeah. So, yeah, when you see all this hatred for Bush on the left, and then when he picks his Supreme Court nominee, it's someone that's so wishy-washy, this Harriet Myers, that, I mean, all she's ever done
right, she's the final straw that
yeah.
is even now making the conservatives not only
cringe.
Scratch their head, exactly, but cringe
yeah.
and run in the opposite direction. In fact, and yesterday we had another fake terror alert.
Right.
Did you see that? They
yeah,
closed the
Baltimore
Harbor Tunnel
yeah.
for a general terror alert. Gee, aren't we under one of those every minute of every day of our life?
Yeah, and you know, the right, the ones that want smaller government and so forth, and they wanted the Supreme Court to get away from what it's been for the last 20 or 30 years. They wanted a fight now in the public arena to bring in someone
mm-hmm.
that's going to take the court back to the way it was originally intended. And what George Bush gives them is this lady that was like the head of the PTA and ran a bake sale. That's all she's ever
yeah.
done, you know?
Well, this was such a softball interview Hannity did with Rush
oh.
Limbaugh. I mean, he might as well have been asking him if he could go mow his lawn, Victor said.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was like, Rush, can I come over and rake your leaves this weekend? It was so incredible. I thought
talk
he was
about carrying the Kool-Aid.
Yeah. You got anything else there?
No, but I do want to say that Rush Limbaugh basically spent most of that time making fun of the liberals and the Democrats.
Yeah.
In fact, me and Victor were talking yesterday. They don't even call themselves liberals anymore.
Right.
They call themselves progressives.
Yeah, they're so ashamed of what they are that they had to change their name. And all Limbaugh was doing was just reinforcing this left-right paradigm. It was so
right.
phony baloney. And after the interview, I was telling Lisa, I was like, this guy so much wants to just get his hands on a big bottle of OxyContins and just start gulping them because it's not enough for him anymore. Just doing this political shtick isn't enough.
Now, if we didn't like watching movies so much on our TV, I probably would have thrown a big glass right at my TV.
Yeah, really. So anyway, we'll be back tomorrow. More news updates and so forth. On Friday, Morgan Reynolds will be doing the TV version on Friday. When you watch this show, just kind of read what we have on the main pages there. It's pretty self-explanatory. And once you get the hang of it, this is the way we're going to start doing it.
We still welcome your suggestions, your ideas, your feedback. And we really appreciate you tuning in to Wing TV.
Right. We'll be back tomorrow. Until then, keep your eyes open because there's a lot going on.
See you then.